Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. And we were talking in the last show, and I mentioned just at the end, religious orders. What are religious orders? Well, you have to go back again and think, what is religion? Religion is the real piety and practice consisting in the performance of all known duties to God and your fellow men. Known duties to God and your fellow men. The actual performance of those duties. That's what religion is. And it says real piety. Piety. Piety was the fulfillment of your obligation to your father. That's what it used to mean. If you were pious, it meant you were actually taking care of your father and your mother. You were a pious man. If you were doing no more ought for your father and your mother and said somebody else now had that responsibility because you gave at the temple, then you were making the word of God to none effect. You know, once I realized that Herod was baptizing people into the kingdom of God. So people talk about the kingdom of God and the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, Herod had a gospel of the kingdom of God. Good news, we've got a new deal here. You sign up and no longer be idiotes, unregistered, but you be registered with us and we will take care of you if you get sick, indigent, or your parents need help. We will take care of them, but you have to pay in. Because that's the deal. You have to pay in. No one left behind. Everybody's got to pay their fair share. This is what was going on in Judea at the time of Jesus Christ. This is what's been going on in your country, wherever you live, whatever country, for the last 100 years. You've been moving more and more towards the baptism of Herod. What was the performance of your duty to your fellow man to take care of him in time of need, to, you know, bandage him if he was beat up or sick or in the ditch or whatever, the Good Samaritan thing, to do so by faith, hope, and charity, was your duty to God and your fellow man. But you don't do that. Somebody else does that. Somebody else, and what's happened is the very people you've put in charge to perform your duty, and therefore given them the right to make decisions on your behalf, you've given them the power to act for you, are the ones beating up the people in the ditch. They're actually the ones that are imprisoning whole nations. You can't leave this country unless we give you a pass. You can't come back unless you have our pass. You did that because you haven't been seeking the kingdom of God. You've been seeking the kingdoms of the world. You just go to church to feel good about that. All their iniquity is your iniquity. Now, for those of you who woke up and discovered that your parents have sold you into bondage, you've been cursed with debt of your parents. Remember what it says in the Bible? New Testament, through covetous practices, they will curse their children. That's you. You're the children. You're cursed with their debt. You're a surety for their debt. You've been cursed. Where is your salvation? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What did you do this last week to seek the kingdom of God? Did you gather together with other people? Contribute 10% of what you earned this week to take care of the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity? Or did you just shake your fist at the world? Pad your own pockets and do your own thing? Are you sacrificing even a tenth of what you produce in a given month or week or day for others? Christ sacrificed everything for you. His ministers have to love you more than they love themselves. They have to pick up their burden of sacrifice and walk in his direction. What did you do? Did you give 10% of your heartbeats this week to find the kingdom of God, to seek that kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because if you didn't, you're not doing what Jesus said. You're not a follower of Jesus. You're not a doer of the word. So we were talking about this Joan Cheevers, who got a $2,000 fine for feeding the hungry without a particular truck that she's supposed to have. I couldn't find anywhere in the article why she didn't have the truck with her, but $2,000, she's got to shell out. How much food could they have shelled out for $2,000? I mean, we don't tie people to a whipping post, have a guy come out and give him 20 lashes. We just give him a $2,000 fine. You know, that's a lot. to us poor preachers, $2,000. She's got to give that out. I mean, somebody's going to go hungry because she's got... Now, other people are contributing so that she could pay the fine. She already collected over $5,000 in contributions just because of this deal. But the problem is most of those people, and I appreciate their compassion and their sacrifice, but they're not following the roadmap that Christ gave you to seek the kingdom of God. It's great that they're charitable and they're willing to sacrifice. I mean, a couple days ago they had 5,000 in donations already, but she wanted to appeal this decision, which comes up in June, I think, is when she goes to court for this $2,000 fine, based on religious freedom. And we were explaining that religion is how you take care of the needy. Freedom of religion is your religion being how you do that. Problem is, her religion is not unspotted from the world. If feeding the needy, one of the things I wrote is that definition of religion, of real piety and practice and the performance of your known duties to God and your fellow man, today that definition has changed, and if you go read our article on pure religion, or religion, that we explained it in there, but the definition has changed to mean what you think about God. You know, you want to believe the Trinity. Fine, go believe the Trinity. You want to believe that God created heaven and earth. Fine. The devil knows that. You know, Jesus even points that out. You know, the devil does that. He knows who Jesus is. He knows who God is. He just doesn't do the will of the Father. So the fact that you think this, that, or the other thing about God puts you right up neck and neck with the devil. Now, if you actually want to seek the kingdom of God, you have to be a doer of the word. Stop cursing your children. Start loving your neighbor as yourself. One cop, you know, because she was saying that this was a matter of religion to the cop reportedly said, if you want to pray, go to church, and gave her a $2,000 fine. He didn't know what church is. He didn't know what religion is. He didn't know what praying is. Because, see, she doesn't go to church to pray. She goes to the government to pray. See, when she signed up for Social Security, she's praying to the government to visit, you know, Ontario, Quebec, or wherever it is that your capital is. Oh, great Father of Sydney, Australia, please come to my aid. And I will register with you, so I'm not idiotus, I'm not unregistered. I am registered with you to take care of me in my hour of need. How is he going to do that? How is this great white father going to take care of you? He's going to take away from somebody else. Even when he does it by borrowing money, he's borrowing from the future of your children, which of course curses your children with debt, because he operates by covetousness. He forces the contributions of the people. And he thinks that's okay, and that's fine that he thinks that okay. That is the unrighteous mammon, and it will destroy him. And I don't have to punish him. He will punish himself. He already is. He's already set in motion his own destruction. Because he decided it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods as long as you do it through government. And you decided that too. Your parents decided that. And that's why you're all cursed and under judgment and in bondage. Wow, you know, this people aren't going to like to hear this. But I'm saying it. I'm saying it out loud. I'm saying it on the radio. Because I'm saying make straight the way of the Lord. And I say, just like John the Baptist, have you not heard? Was it not so from the beginning that the people of Israel took care of all their social needs through free will offerings? You see, religion is not about praying for something for yourself. Religion is about the answering of prayers through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You cannot answer those prayers sitting in a pew. You have to actually get out there and gather together and try to help one another. And it's absolutely essential that you do that. Otherwise, you're not doing the will of the Father. You're not seeking the kingdom of God. So anyway, what we've devised over the years, and actually, we put this together rather quickly, comparatively speaking. But now getting the message out into the hearts and minds of other people so that they begin to act in a way that is matching this idea of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to form congregations of record and go on record and say, these people I'm going to try to take care of according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pick a minister who I think is striving like me to listen to the Holy Spirit and I'm going to support his ministry so that he can help take care of the needy of his society and evangelize, in other words, seek other people seeking the same thing. Because I know that when I repent and turn around and start taking care of the needy in pure religion of my society, not every drug addict on the street, but of those other people seeking the kingdom, that if I gather together for that purpose, the purposes of Christ, I will be a part of the effort of the church. I will be a part of the mission of Christ. But if I just read about these things and talk about these things and complain about the government and go vote and do all these other things to somehow imagine that I'm going to change the course of history by my own power, I'm a fool. I'm doing a foolish thing, like Saul. So you have to become this sacrificing spirit of Christ. Manifest that. And when you don't, when you see you're selfish, when you see you're holding back, when you see that you're thinking, well, I can't share. I got to think about myself. I got to think about my family. That's the devil speaking to you. No, you have to think about others. Otherwise, the Spirit of Christ will not be upon you. And I can tell you this, you know, I mentioned this before. Somebody I know had people working for them, and one of them was having money problems. And they were thinking, I have to get this other job to take care of this money problem. And they said, you don't need another job. You make enough money. You need to watch how you're spending it. You have a drinking and gambling problem. You drink too much, and you gamble money away because you're not happy. Why aren't you happy? Why are you on depression medication? Because you don't care about other people as much as you care about yourself. Everything is about you. So she told this employee, you don't need another job. You need to start thinking about other people. So take some of the extra food you have in your cupboard and go down to the homeless shelter and spend some time there. And then go help somebody else. And they did this. And they felt tremendous relief. Can't use this as a gimmick. You have to actually start changing and thinking. But just that one little exercise began to open her mind and think about other things. Now, that individual has lots of layers of problems, but at least I thought that was a very interesting solution. I mean, most people, if you tell them that you're depressed, they'll tell you, well, you need to get on medication. There's no better medicine than Christ. And if you're seeking Christ, you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You're seeking a society that operates by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And I ask you again, what did you do this week to get closer to the kingdom of God? Did you form a congregation of record? Did you contact a congregation of record? Did you try to work in that direction? You say, well, everybody in the congregation is not really what they should be. Are you really what you should be? Christ didn't say, repent and seek the kingdom of God only with perfect saints. He didn't say that. You seek it with one another. Iron sharpens iron because you're both a bit dull. You need to rub shoulders, to sweat equity together. So I can't encourage enough that people start gathering together and you say, well, we're so far apart. Well, there's people in between you and you haven't got the message to them. What are you doing to get the message to them? And people say, well, you know, I talk to people, and they don't listen. You know, they don't believe. Well, they need signs and wonders. You know what sign they need? They need to see you actually doing it. They need to see you actually taking care of one another. Building up a way in which you can actually take care of one another. How many of you, I mean, there are some retired people amongst you actually collecting Social Security. Could you take somebody into your house and help them? Could you learn to care for the elderly? Could you feed one more mouth with the resources you have? We're taking care of an elderly gentleman. We've put thousands of hours into this. He was supposed to be dead months ago. He's actually getting better. Who's taking care of him? I was down in another elderly gentleman's house. He's 91 years old today. He gets around, needs a cane. Really should have a walker most of the time. But he gets around, needed help. I went down there and helped him. I had to drive 80 miles to get there to help him. Of course, I was helping another widow lady out at the same time in another house who had needed help also. And it ended up being a very long day yesterday. You know, we have a half dairy cow, actually just a little less than half dairy cow out in the desert with the other beef cows. She had a beautiful little gray calf. And it was doing well. And we've had a lot of we had weather in the 70s, and then we had blowing snow. Somebody thought it was below zero because they were out in it, but it wasn't that cold, but it seemed like that cold. Well, that calf was out in it, and then it would get 70 degrees the next day or 60, and the hot and cold weather is hard on young animals, and it got pneumonia. Didn't see it the first day. I mean, they're out roaming on the desert. But I went out there early in the morning to get some tools to go help these other people. And I thought, well, I'll check some irrigation and open some head gates to flood irrigate, because we're getting this warm weather and we want all the fields wet so the grass grows. And I spotted the calf, and its head was not holding its head right for a healthy calf, even at that great distance, half a mile. So I walked over there to see it, and sure enough, it had pneumonia. You could hear it breathing like it was about to die. And long story short, it died within a few minutes after getting there. And the mother had been coming back, and she had two other calves following her everywhere. I didn't realize it was the mother at first, because we have several gray calves, and I didn't know which one was the mother. But this is definitely the mother, and I could see her bag was tight. And, you know, we put the calf where she could smell it and realize that it was dead. She licked it and everything, but it wouldn't get up. She moved to it. It wouldn't respond. And so she took the other two calves that were with her. And I thought, now, what are those other calves with her? Is she nursing those calves too? She's got plenty of milk. She could certainly share that milk. Is she going to adopt those calves? Well, I'll have to tell you the answer to that another day, because I had to run off and help these other widows and orphans who have children who are not there for them. They do no more ought for their parents, because their parents got Social Security. They don't take care of their parents. Also, yesterday morning, the day before yesterday in the evening, my grandson fell playing with his brother and sister, and he hurt himself, and he went in. And so anyway, his arm hurt, so they put they have a strap-on cast, you know, one of these removable casts, and they put it on him and everything, and he had a pretty rough night. And the next day, he was going to stay with Grandpa and Grandma, and his parents were going to go. But they brought him over before sunup, and I came out of my office, and they wanted me to look at it. I have an experience with broken bones. And I put my finger on the upper part of his arm and on his fingers, and I could see him moving his fingers. But when I didn't see a mark, but I just saw this place that I put my finger and touched his arm. And when I did it, it's like a, you know, like this little flashbulb thing of a picture of a broken bone flashed in my head. And I turned to him. He didn't want to go to town to have it x-rayed. I turned to him and I said, "Your arm's broken, you're going to have to go to town." And he immediately started putting on his coat. He didn't want to go, but as soon as I said that, he was just totally cooperative, and he went. Sure enough, both bones in his forearm were broken. And they brought home a picture of the x-ray, and it was exactly what I saw flash, at least on the bone that I touched. I didn't touch the other bone. I was pretty sure that one was broken. And he'll heal up quick. He has in the past. He's always the one who seems to get hurt. But so that was the way my morning started. And then the calf died, and then I tried to get the cow to accept these other two calves. I don't know if that's been successful, but I told her to. So we'll see if she listens. But what I'm doing today is I'm talking to you. You're broken. You need to heal. You need to get in another position, protected, cast-like position, so that your bones will heal, your heart will heal, your scattered flock. You need to come together to learn what it means to come together, so that you can knit back together in righteousness, in righteous ways, not with covenants and contracts and constitutions, but with love for one another. That is the bonds that you must heal with. You've broken those bonds because you've done contrary to the ways of God and Christ. You've gone out and made leagues and contracts. And your fathers before you have eaten sour grapes. In other words, lived a covetous lifestyle and cursed you with their debt. You must forgive them their trespasses and your neighbor's trespasses, and seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have to do that. That's what repenting is, turning around. It's not going to earn you the kingdom, but God will run out and meet you halfway if you do that. The way to do that, people always ask me what you do, join a congregation of record. Form a congregation of record. You don't join like a member, but you become a part of something. Find, look out amongst yourself, find men you trust, just like you see him say in Acts, and start empowering them to take care of one another. And then we will do everything, our ministers, and we're starting to get some decent ministers that are really starting to do some homework, willing to do daily sacrifice of their own time and their own lives. And you need to become a part of that. If not with us, with somebody else. I don't care with who. Seek the kingdom. What you do this week to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you need to do. So we started talking about this religious order thing. And everybody in the United States, in Canada, in England, in Denmark, all these places, they're members of a religious order. They desire to exercise authority one over the other. And they give men, call themselves benefactors, the power to do so, and they themselves are trapped in the very net they have laid before them. We'll explain that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this break. Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So what do we mean by religious order? Religion being that how you take care of the needy of your society. Your religious order is something that you are a part of, a member of, that takes care of the needy of your society. And Social Security is a religious institution. It's how you take care of the needy of your society. It's how you provide and perform the duties you have to your neighbor of taking care of them. The duty you have, the pious duty, which is the patrimonial responsibility of taking care of your father and your mother. That's what pious used to mean. It had to do with your patrimonial responsibility to take care of your father and your mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. The words in the Hebrew, the word honor means to fatten, to take care of, to increase them. That is your pious duty. And Social Security does that now. Social Security does not operate on faith, hope, and charity or the perfect law of liberty. It operates on force. Same as national insurance or whatever insurance program your government has. Those are religious programs. According to the definition of religion 200 years ago. According to the definition of religion 2,000 years ago. But those systems are of the world. They're of the constitutional orders and systems of government of the world. If you know the meaning of words, you understand what I'm talking about. You can even go to Proverbs 1. 14, cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. That's how Social Security works. We have an article up on preparingyou.com. You just look up the word one purse and you'll find it. And it talks about the warning and one purse in context. Knife to thy throat. Civic flesh pots. City is the cauldron and we be the flesh. Bite one another. It explains all this. It has nice little funny cartoons on there and some videos and some ugly pictures of flesh pots. But this is what the Bible is about from the beginning to the end. From Cain and Abel on. Abel was a tender of sheep. I'm a tender of sheep. How does that work? What's the difference between being someone who plows the Adama and a tender of sheep? I mean, you know, Proverbs 1 as an example. We're talking first chapter right off. Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instructions, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. What was the weightier matters that Jesus mentioned? Law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Is that what your church is tending to? Or are they just there to make you feel good? To imagine that you're saved? To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto the head, and chain about thy neck. And then he begins in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us all wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. You don't do that, do you? You see, when you collect from men who exercise authority, you are collecting the blood of those they have taken from or will take from in the future if they're operating in a debt system. Verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in thy lot amongst us. Let us all have one purse. Verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay in wait for their own blood. Their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. That's what these systems do. They have one purse. They bind everybody together in that net, but you're caught in the very net of your binding. It's that simple. Wisdom crieth out. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city, and uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? For the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. So, you know, how can you tell people this? I'm telling you. Are you doing something about it? Are you gathering together with others? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when you fear. When your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. He says he's not going to answer you. Why? Because you said, let's all have one purse. Let's lurk privately for the blood of our neighbor. Let's take from our neighbor. Let's take from our neighbor's grandchildren. Let's borrow against their future, so that we may be comfortable today. Let's take money out of our neighbor's pocket as if we all had one purse, because we want free education, we want free health care, we want free Medicare or Medicaid. We want these things, and we want them now. We don't want to work for them. Yeah, you paid in. You paid in to men who were a bad choice. You said, well, I voted for my guy, but he didn't get elected. Do you think, I've been watching elections since Adlai Stevenson, do you think any of that changes anything? Has it ever changed anything? Like one anarchist once said, who I don't advocate her, she's not a very, but she did say something that was true. If voting mattered, actually this isn't her words, I'm paraphrasing, if voting mattered, they wouldn't let you do it. What matters? Christ didn't say, vote for the right Caesar, vote for me to be your king. He said, repent, turn around, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness does not include men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. His righteousness does not include people who take a bite out of one another. His righteousness does not include one-purse socialism. His righteousness includes loving your neighbor as yourself. And you don't do that in your pews that where the preachers tell you you're saved just because you thought a thought or said the magic words. When Paul talks about believing, he's talking about doing, because he preached Christ's gospel first. If you want God to hear, it's going to take a miracle. If you want God to hear your prayers, start hearing the prayers of your neighbors. Start hearing the prayers of others who are seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Start supporting your local groups in a network of charity where the best servant amongst you, the highest amongst you, is the best servant amongst you. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproofs. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear and evil. Is that where you're at? I don't think that's where you're at yet. I think that's where you need to go. But that's why you have to turn around and start doing the other things. So we have all kinds of articles. You know, I'm reading actually from Proverbs 1 right there on the Preparing You site. Actually, I could use somebody helping us set up the rest of the biblical references. Everybody can be an editor on the Preparing You site. I noticed that when I went to the frequent, the recent changes page, there were lots of other people adding new pages, organizing local congregations, adding more information about homeschooling, the new templates, conference calls added. There's a women's conference call. I think that's Sunday in the New York area. There's been at least 3-4 changes in some of those pages just in the last 24 hours. We added more on surviving without health insurance and surviving hospital costs. How to do that, and then I'm starting to get ready to do a 1 Corinthians series. So these are all people working. I see lots of different names there. I'd like to see even more different names adding to their local pages and connections. But that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on in the network. What you have to do, people, you know, see the, they talk in Proverbs about, you know, the day of calamity coming and difficult times coming and all that stuff, and that he will not hear you in that day because of what you've been doing in the chief places of concourse and the opening of gates and the closing of gates. You need to become a people. You need to take these scattered bones and bind them together with the sinew of Christ, which is the sinew of love and forgiveness. And that's going to take a lot of personal soul searching. Somebody had written a letter, and it was just a real short little letter, and he said, I just poured out my heart in that letter. He's not very used to doing that, so it was quite a strain to him. You know, all the things that we've written on the website, I'm working on a lukewarm article. If you look at the religion pages, trying to explain to you that these systems are religious systems. We have an article, Religion, Pure Religion, False Religion, Public Religion, Our Religion, Corbin, Conflict of Christianity and the World, What the World Is, What Baptism Was at That Time, Who the Benefactors Were, Who Were the Fathers of the Earth that Jesus Said We Were Not to Be Calling Upon. You know, what's the difference between the modern Christians and the original Christians? What were the damnable heresies? Why and what is blaspheming the Holy Spirit so that you cannot be forgiven? Do you know what these things are? We're putting all this up on a regular basis. We need your support. We got some things on the iron and we could use some support. But really more important than supporting us, God will provide for us one way or the other. But the reason you need to start supporting some ministry, because God's not going to hear you. Religion is about answering the prayers. You're supposed to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit in your own heart. And if you're not giving, I mean immensely giving, regularly giving to whoever you decide to give, whatever church, if you're not giving, that is a sign that you are not saved. that you do not have Christ living in you, that you're not following Christ. You've created an emotional, religious experience, and it's a strong delusion. You think, yeah, I've accepted Christ. I felt the weight lifted off me. What about the weight that is still there? You need to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness with your whole heart, mind, and soul. It's absolutely essential, which means that you've got to stop being the lukewarm. Remember Revelation 3:13? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches and unto the angels of the church of the Laodiceans. Write this. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, so buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiments, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, how do you do that? You have to start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You have to start doing that which is righteous. You have to start creating that network that is operating on the faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. Because anything short of that is not righteous. It is not the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. You need to give because it calls the Lord to come near you. It draws you near Him. Behold, I stand in the door and knock. I am telling you, make straight the way of the Lord. He is knocking on your heart, trying to come in. And if you will not forgive and give, you will not be blessed. He will not hear you. If any man hear my voice and open the door, see, you have to act. You have to hear and open the door. How do you open the door? By doing the will of the Father. I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That term lukewarm only appears once in the Bible, although he talks about hot and cold many times. Bible from the Greek word chaleros. I can't even say it. Kleros, which means tepid, but is a metaphor for the fluctuating and not committed. So are you committed to seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Have you been listening to us for years and not joined a congregation of record? Are you in a congregation of record but not really attending to the business of a congregation? You have to realize that this business of the congregation alters you as an individual. You have to actually be thinking about others. I mean, it's inconvenient, but you got to get hot for this quest for a righteous system of faith, hope, and charity. Yeah, it was a very tiring day yesterday. Other people were working at places that I would have rather been in some ways, but then I went where I would want to be, helping other people. You know, that was one of the things about taking care of animals, is that you had to think about somebody else. You had to think about something else that was actually alive, and if you didn't think about it, it suffered. You had to take care of their needs rather than cater to your own self. This is what family is all about. sacrificing for your children, but you're sacrificing for your children so that they learn to stand on their own two feet. They learn to help others. Modern Christians have very little in common with what the early Christians were doing, but yet many of them think they are saved. I do not know of hardly any church doing what James called pure religion. I actually know some pastors who actually visit the sick. They go down to the hospital and they visit them. They sit there and talk to them for a few minutes and they leave. We actually have a pastor come in and help the... He doesn't help. He actually just comes in and talks to the fellow that we're bathing daily. We're massaging his muscles daily. We're healing his wounds. All the wounds that he has now on his body came when he was in the hands of the government clinics. You know, they were professional clinics, but they're paid for by the government. That's where he developed these wounds and these sores, when they were taking care of him. I mean, they almost killed him in the last few days that he was in the hospital. I mean, finally, we got him to come home. Family agreed, and we're providing a great deal of his care. And we're actually in this process, not only is God teaching us, but we're also ministering to the family, we're ministering to the few government employees who do come about, and we're hopefully helping them wake up. What did you do this week? You answer me that next week too, because I'll probably ask you that again. Till then, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to be in the world but not of it, and what it means perhaps for the first time to truly love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. The kingdom of God is at hand. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
I'm Brother Justice and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet, do not steal, which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families and individuals start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Jefferson did not write, "They are endowed by their constitutions with unalienable rights." Nor did Jefferson write, "They are endowed by their elected lawmakers with unalienable rights." Jefferson did write that these truths are self-evident. Does that mean we have to go to school to learn these truths from a teacher? Does self-evident mean we have to read, study, and research these ideas in books written by other men? No, these truths are written on our conscience, on our hearts and minds, written on our souls by our Creator. These truths are maxims of His law. If unalienable rights are endowed, granted, or given by our Creator to each of us, does that mean that there is no free will choice, act, or deed that can bar us from access to these God-given unalienable rights? Is it a self-evident truth that we can freely choose to do anything and we will always maintain access to these natural law unalienable rights endowed by God? Isn't it a self-evident truth that the answers to these questions are no? Isn't it also a self-evident truth that in order to maintain access to the inalienable rights granted by God, that we must also maintain our God-given natural law responsibilities and duties in order to maintain our position or status in God's government or jurisdiction? Don't the governments of man require obedience to their laws in order to keep their civil rights? Why would it be any different for God? If we want to keep His inalienable rights, wouldn't we be expected to keep His laws, do His will by remaining obedient, loyal, and giving allegiance to Him and His government? If an individual, family, community, or nation freely chooses by consent, participation, or appeal to create or join a different government that has its own structure and form, which creates its own civil laws and grants its own civil rights to its members, persons, nationals, or citizens, doesn't the act of joining, giving allegiance, obedience, trust, and faith to this new government mean that they have rejected the Creator's government and rejected His laws? Doesn't it mean that the people have rejected God and His ways and, in essence, expatriating their natural status as a national in God's kingdom government in order to be naturalized into a new government created by men via consent, contracts, constitutions, participation, and appeal? Isn't this what happened to the Israelites when we read 1 Samuel chapter 8? So how does an individual, a family, a community, a nation, once again get access to their God-given inalienable rights once they have lost them by their own free will choices, acts, and deeds? Repent. Turn around. Go the other way, God's way. Start taking back the responsibilities that are imposed on the nationals of God's kingdom government. Responsibilities do not follow rights. Rights follow responsibilities. The first step is to truly love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If we want our God-given unalienable rights back, we must stop exercising dominion over our neighbors. Start keeping the commandments. Do not covet. Do not steal. Which includes the legalized covetousness and plunder that is mandatory in all man-made governments. Start by coming together in free will assemblies of individuals and families that are seeking to return to God's kingdom government. Families an individual start by seeking, striving, and working to be the departments of health, education, welfare, economy, defense, agriculture, energy, and justice for other families in the free assembly, but also for other families of families near and far. The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbor as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.